Welcome to the Midlife Masculine Podcast. I am Dhruv Sethi. As men, we reach an inflection point in our lives where we question our achievements. Despite societal expectations and our own credentials, many of us feel unfulfilled. I have lived in three countries, built a career in finance, achieved several academic and professional qualifications, but I know there's still more to life, just like most men today. Join me as I invite guests to share wisdom so that we men become self-sovereign in mind, body, and spirit, all with a spiritual undertone. Welcome to another episode of the Midlife Masculine Podcast. My guest today is Tom Palladino, a Florida-based scalar energy researcher, and brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to the field. Inspired by scientific pioneers like Nikola Tesla, he embarked on independent study to uncover the secrets of scalar energy. It's something I'm very curious about, and it's something I haven't heard about, but it sounds quite fascinating, and we're going to get Tom to speak about it. And Tom has developed scalar energy instruments capable of transmitting instructive energy to heal individuals remotely. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you. I'm always fascinated by new things and new technology, new philosophies that can help mankind. So I've never heard of scalar energy before. So could you explain what that is?
It's not electricity to begin with. What is scalar energy? It's the energy of the sun and the stars. Nikola Tesla was the first man to harness scalar energy. These are engineered instruments likewise that harness this energy from the stars.
Okay, so it's a different type of energy than what we have been taught in school. Okay, so it's scalar. And could you explain its nature?
Scalar energy is the initial energy of the universe. Electricity and magnetism are a subset or a derivative of scalar energy. The nature of scalar energy, it's intelligence. It's the intelligence of the universe or the logos. When you look at the sun or any star, what is allowing that sun, that star, to emanate light, to exist? It's scalar light. So the initial energy of the universe is scalar energy. Why is that important? It serves as the instructions for the universe.
Wow. There's so many tangents I can take this to. So, I mean, what kind of instruments do you have to measure it?
It cannot be measured. Why? The energy is infinite. There's no basic unit. The energy connects the entire universe. It's consciousness. Or intelligence. You can't measure consciousness or intelligence. There's no basic unit for intelligence. So I have instruments that can harness that. I can't measure it, but I can harness that energy.
So if that's the basis of solar energy and the creative energy, is that also the basis of other types of energy like chemical energy?
Yes, it is. Everything receives instructions for scalar energy. Scalar energy instructs the universe, including all chemical reactions. So you have to go back to the cause, and the cause is always light. Light is fundamental. And light, scalar light, is, if you will, the animating force of everything, including chemical reactions.
So the type of light you're talking about is not the light that we see when we switch on the light bulb.
That's correct. It's non-physical, invisible light. What some people might call consciousness. Others might call that a thought, or some people might call that plasma. All of those terms are synonymous.
So when we say our bodies are made up of three bodies, essentially, there's a physical body, there's an astral body, and causal body. Are we talking about the light that emanates from the astral body?
Yes, exactly. Some people have actually seen that astral body, or it's called a force field by some. Others call that spirit. That's what I'm working with. I'm working with the spirit, the astral body, yes.
So sometimes when we take psychedelics, we see visuals and we can see vibrations and beautiful lines and geometries coming out from trees and plants and different objects. Is it the same kind of energy?
Exactly. And you could see that sometimes by way of Kirlian photography. You've seen Kirlian photography that you can photograph an organism and you see light emanating, whether it's a plant, a person or a person's hand or, if you will, an animal. Everything has that scalar light, that animating astral body.
And that scalar energy, does it only emanate from living beings?
No, inanimate likewise. Everything is, if you will, created and maintained by intelligence, by scalar intelligence. So to make this very clear to your audience, Scalar energy is the first principle of all creation. Without that intelligence, you would not have order. You would have nothing but chaos. So everything animate and inanimate is, if you will, created and maintained by scalar energy.
Wow, fascinating stuff. And when you say you harness that energy, talk to me about that.
Yeah. These are instruments. I'm going to show quickly one of the instruments that I work with. This is a miniature star. These are calibrated to control, to capture scalar energy. Now, you'll notice that there's no moving parts. The energy, the kinetic energy is from the stars. I don't create the energy. I simply harness the energy. And the instrument acts like a star because then it can illuminate an object. It can illuminate the light bulb that I hold in my hand.
Wow. This is an audio podcast, but just for the listeners. So Tom held a light bulb in his hand and he moved it closer to the instrument and the light automatically lit up. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Now this energy, once again, it's the energy of the cosmos. Nothing can impede it. This energy can pass through a wooden board. So the point I'm trying to make is that this is ubiquitous. This energy is the animating force of everything.
Wow. I've seen this in a video on either Instagram or Twitter, where there was a man who basically fried an egg on wood, and there was a heat that was conducted by that wood. And after he fried that egg, he could sit on that piece of wood. Is that the same kind of energy?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. I've never seen that video. So what's the point? Energy, light, can perform a function. This instrument performs scalar functions. And in so doing, I access a different dimension. I'm not accessing electricity and magnetism. I'm accessing a different dimension, the quantum dimension or scalar energy.
Okay. I mean, here in the UK, people are experiencing a cost of living crisis where inflation has ravaged and basically made everything so expensive, amongst other energy bills, amongst other things. So we could potentially use this to heat our homes and light our homes.
Yes. Now, that's what Nikola Tesla wanted to do. He wanted to take the free energy of the sun and the stars, take that energy and then broadcast it, give it away, if you will, distribute it to people. Now, this should be preferred as opposed to coal or oil or nuclear power. Why? It's safe. It's easy. It's free. You don't need a grid system. Every time I use this instrument, I don't need satellites. The universe is the satellite. It's free energy with a free grid system.
So energy is free and abundant,
yes,
essentially.
Exactly.
But they have us believe that it's limited and we've got to go to wars for energy.
Exactly. Now, that's the point of my research, to help people. This is a free energy instrument, and I don't need to create the energy, and I don't need a grid system to distribute it. The stars are free. The grid system pre-exists. Why aren't we using this free energy?
So you held the light bulb, but the light bulb lit up by itself, just as you moved it closer to the instrument. Now, can that be done with larger objects like cars, trucks as well?
That's what I'm working on. Yes. I've demonstrated this locally. Now I want to be able to send this energy at a distance. And if I can light up a building at a distance, I'll be able to solve the energy crisis.
And do we need something physical for it? Like in the case of mobile phones, we've got batteries.
You don't. That's very good. You don't need to store the power. Why? It's everywhere. In other words, you don't need a battery. You don't need a storage tank. The stars are the storage tank, so to speak. The capacitor are the stars.
And is there any limitation in terms of physical distance between the stars?
No. It's instantaneous. In other words, scalar energy does not move like a sinusoidal wave. There's no frequency. There's no cycles per second. It pre-exists. Many people say it's quantum entanglement, or it's evidence that the universe has this blanket of energy. And that blanket of energy is everywhere.
Wow. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
So this is what Nikola Tesla was basically sidelined for by Mr. JP Morgan.
Yes. Why? Because free energy changes the economic order. You can make money if something is scarce. Okay. If something is free and easy and you can distribute it rather in ready fashion, well, then you don't need an industry. You don't need oil or coal. You don't need the railroads. So free changes the economic order.
So I went to a university which is regarded as one of the best in the world, the UK, and I did an engineering degree. They didn't teach me this.
No, very few people understand that there's two energies. See, Nikola Tesla began his career with AC electricity. Later in his life, Tesla was working with what he called radiant energy. If you look closely at his devices, there's no moving parts. With my instrument, there's no moving parts. So what's the point? You don't need an induction motor. You don't need an armature. Why? The armature are the stars.
Wow. I mean, there's so many questions in my head right now. I don't know what the next question should be. I suppose, obviously, they cannot, big businesses, big companies, governments cannot make money off this. So
correct.
They would probably not want to advertise this.
That's correct.
Now, what kind of struggles are you facing right now?
It's just a lack of knowledge. That's all. Once people realize that this is a reality, that I'm following the footsteps of Tesla, and that I have instruments that are demonstrably controlling the scalar realm, scalar energy, the sky's the limit. I project in the next 2 to 3 years, this will be headline news.
But are people receptive to this, such as academia?
Most people are. Now, as an institution, no. But privately, professors are very interested in what I'm doing. You see, to go out on a limb, so to speak, whether you're a university or a government agency or a corporation, many of them want to protect their reputation. They don't want to take the first step. But privately, many people have approached me.
Okay. I mean, there would be vested interests who wouldn't want this to succeed. Do you think, would you say your life has been in danger or a threat or anything like that?
No. God protects me. I'm glad you asked that. To me, that's not an issue with me. God protects me. That's a good point, though.
I'm glad to hear that. So tell me, how can people use this in to heal themselves in terms of diseases or something, you know, some sort of a disorder?
When I'm working with people, I never work with them in a biological sense. I work with the quantum field. And there's a big difference. I don't work with people in the flesh. I work with their quantum field, the photograph of a person. I'm holding up my photograph. My photograph has a signal, energy to it. It's me. My soul, mind, and body are on the photograph. So working in the quantum field, you don't have to be physically present. You have a copy. My energetic copy is the photograph. So much like we're having a conversation through our computer on this video call, obviously you're not in my computer, I'm not in your computer. We're sharing an image. We're sharing information telephonically. Well, I can share information through a photograph with the scalar energy instrument.
So the person on that photograph, if that person is suffering from a disease via scalar energy, you could cure that person somehow because that photograph has that energy of that photo.
Yes, exactly. And I'll explain how I do that. Everything makes sense according to light. I only use light with my instrument. There's no human reasoning. I'm going to hold up a photograph. This is a magnified photograph of herpes. This photograph has a signature energy to it. My photograph has a signature energy to it. When I place these two photographs in the quantum field in a scalar energy environment, the signature of herpes enters into my quantum field. If I had the herpes virus as a signal in my photograph, the instrument would find the signal of herpes signature and eradicate it, remove the signature of herpes in me. So the instrument works on the non-physical level, looking for force fields or energy fields of herpes in my photograph, removing that intelligence, negating the intelligence of herpes. As a result, herpes ceases to exist.
So in this case study, what we're saying is this person, this photograph, in this case, it was you, hypothetically had herpes. So you had a photograph of the herpes virus and a photograph of yourself. How would you direct scalar energy to eliminate herpes in you then?
Yeah, the instrument does that automatically. So what's the point? There's no human reasoning. The instrument is calibrated automatically to understand the signature of anything. Everything has an energy, including the herpes virus. If I have the herpes virus energy in me, not the physical virus, but if I have the signal, the signature of herpes, the instrument will not only identify the virus, but negate it. The intelligence, not the chemical, and not at a chemical level, at a level of consciousness, two functions.
And you would just have to place the images near the instrument.
That's correct. I'll demonstrate. I place my photograph in the quantum field right next to the herpes virus. Those two images, the photograph of herpes will, if you will, communicate with my photograph. That's all it takes because it's inbuilt intelligence. This is the cloud of scalar energy. You've heard of the cloud of computing. You've heard of a cloud, a body of knowledge. My cloud, my scalar cloud, is infinite. My cloud is self-directed. My cloud, I don't have to maintain, it pre-exists.
Can you send me $1 million?
I could, by way, very good, by way of intention. You're right. You're right. Many people use this device now for intention. They set an intention, and with this energy, they can realize that intention. They no longer procrastinate. Or many people say it's enhanced their dream state, or it's increased, if you will, their creativity. So it can be used, if you will, to advantageously to, if you will, hone in your mental skills. Yeah, this has great prospect. Nikola Tesla would not have spent so much time, nor would have I spent my life at this, if I didn't see that this is a gigantic prospect for changing the world. Scalar energy, the acceptance of scalar energy will be a watershed event in human history. It will change the world.
I can see that for sure. I mean, even though this is an audio podcast, I'm pretty sure my listeners would understand what we're talking about here. And I'm going to direct them to your website as well. But on a side note, I mean, we're talking about Nikola Tesla, and it's someone I've admired a lot. And I was invited to an interview at Cambridge University when I was leaving school. I wanted to go to Cambridge University, and the interviewer, who was a senior academic or senior professor, asked me, who would you say are the top three scientists who has changed mankind or civilization? And the first name that came out of my mouth was Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
And he scoffed and he laughed and he cut me short. And then he didn't let me finish the interview, let alone the question. And then he started rambling on about the ones that studied at Cambridge, Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin. And there was a third one as well. But he didn't let me finish. But to me, I think Nikola Tesla definitely is one of the most important modern scientists.
Tesla's given us the modern day age. He invented 300, 400 instruments. Nobody comes close to his achievements. Nobody. So I don't know. I'm not going to make any comparisons. I'm just going to speak about one man. Tesla is the greatest scientist that I know.
So he had all these patents, and JP Morgan basically took control of it via the CIA.
Now, exactly.
Now you're essentially working on the work that Tesla did on those patents. So how does that work from a legal point of view?
From a legal point of view, my work is unique. Now, I've not patented anything because I don't trust any patent office. I don't trust government. And so if I work privately, it's my private intellectual property. I'm not impinging upon anybody.
You're a very noble man, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. I've seen the problems that Tesla experienced. Okay, I've learned from Tesla's example. And one of the examples is, you don't trust big business and you don't trust big government.
For sure. I mean, they're working behind the scenes all the time. But of course, the last big event was the COVID incident, which was a total
farce.
It was a hoax.
A sham. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So how do you intend to bring this out to the public and make this perhaps mainstream or more prevalent in society?
With good people like you, Drew. With good people like you. Why? Because I have to keep it at a grassroots level. The people are honorable. I have to stay away from associations or governments that are corrupt. And I have to grow it organically from the bottom up, not from the top down. So help me on a bottom up approach.
Absolutely. I would be honored to. And that's one of the reasons I started the podcast, to bring knowledge and get people to break away from the matrix. I'm on that journey myself, and I want people to follow me. And I use this podcast as a medium to do so.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You're honorable likewise. Now, what's the point here? Technology improves our life. Technology has advanced humanity. I want to advance humanity, but I have to do this in a shrewd fashion. And I can't cast my pearls before swine. So I'm not going to give away the technology to big business or big government.
No, absolutely. I'm with you on that. Tell me, you worked with this for so many years. Have you experienced any side effects, negative side effects, or even positive side effects?
No negative side effects. Why? Two reasons. The energy from the stars is non-physical. It's perfect divine energy. Number two, working through the photograph in the quantum realm, You cannot catch a disease from intelligence. My photograph cannot suffer an allergic reaction. We're not working at the chemical physical level. We're working at the level of intelligence. And it's, if you will, has nothing to do with Western medicine. This is not medicine.
So is this similar to what voodoo practitioners do when they take a strand of hair from somebody and they can cast a curse? Is it sort of similar in that sense?
Yes, because they're using a scalar connection, but obviously they're using it for untoward purposes, sure.
And scalar energy, is there a natural law which it cannot beat or win over, say, death?
I'm going to call this the life force energy. And if used appropriately, it will only beget life. It will only enhance life. Now, some people have alluded to it can be used as a weapon. I don't know. I don't go down that road, and I don't even want to entertain a thought like that.
I'm thinking more along the lines of, so we talked about curing illnesses. Can we cure somebody who's on their deathbed and get them to extend their lives? Can we break natural law order?
Yeah, good point. Yes, you can break natural law because this energy is the natural law, and we can suspend a disease or we can eradicate a disease. Now, I've just rolled out in the past week and a half a new process, and I'm testing it out. And if successful, it is intelligence that I'm going to impart, divine intelligence. And I should be able to address many conditions that hitherto were, if you will, science was not able to address appropriately. I'll let you know of my results.
Yeah, I absolutely would be delighted to hear about it. And perhaps a bit more on the metaphysical topic. Can we connect to higher spirits, God, via this energy somehow? And if so, how?
Just to give you, for instance, every time I operate the instrument, I always pray because I realize that this is a direct channel, a direct link to God. And when I'm in my laboratory, I'm really in the presence of God. Scalar energy is a divine energy. Now, many people have said that they've become more spiritual with these sessions or that their consciousness is enhanced. Some people say they can adjudicate between right and wrong, so it has corrected the conscience of some people. I've had some people say that they've been able to give up cigarette smoking or drug addiction through this type of session. Why? It's intelligence. It's consciousness that can correct an aberrant behavior. So I think this will be the pathway in the future for spiritual and mental health.
Wow. And have you ever communicated with a higher being or God?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough. Throughout my life, for the past 30 years, I've received messages from Jesus and Mary, and they've instructed me as to how to use this divine energy. So yes, I am in contact with heaven.
Wow, fascinating stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, really, I've learned so much. There's so many more questions. There's so many more rabbit holes we can go down. But what takeaways can you give my listeners?
The takeaway is this, that invention, when used appropriately, is going to advance humankind. That invention is going to help us. Now, even though you might not have a scalar light instrument in your laboratory, everybody has access to scalar energy through their thoughts and their emotions. A thought and emotion is a scalar wave. It's a scalar emanation. Why? It transcends time and space. Thinking, feeling transcends time and space. It's perpetual. What is a thought? What is an emotion? It's a scalar wave. So we already have expertise with scalar energy. Our mind and our heart are vessels of scalar energy. Utilize your mind and heart appropriately.
That's some great advice. In terms of scalar energy, so was that the original term for this type of energy, or are there other terms as well in different cultures?
Different cultures. If you go to the Pacific Rim today, they call it chi or prana. Some people, the Russians, call it torsion energy. Those who are in the United States or the Americas are calling it consciousness or zero-point energy. In the past, it's been called life force or pyramid energy. Some people call it the mind of God or the all-seeing eye. The key is this. We've had this energy since the beginning of civilization. Most of the civilizations have recognized the energy of the stars, and they prudently attribute all action to the stars. Why? Everything starts with energy, light. Where does light come from? The stars. So you look to the stars as initiating nature.
And I suppose the planets and the movement of planets would have an impact on the level and intensity of the scalar energy as well?
That's correct. Exactly. That's correct. It's all interconnected. So now we have a holistic viewpoint of the universe. And this is why you have to be in nature. I am, if you will, I am copying nature. I have a miniature star. What am I doing? I'm copying the design of God. In my laboratory, I have a miniature universe. I have a miniature star. That's why I'm successful. I don't go against nature. I go with nature.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of sideline astrology to something that's superstition, but you're explaining here that it does have an impact on how we live and mankind as well. So there's something behind it then.
Yes, exactly.
And just for my listeners, how big are these instruments?
If I were to put a tape measure to it, it'd be about 6 feet long, about 2 meters. It weighs a good 100 pounds, and it's a lot of engineering. My predecessor was a man by the name of Hieronymus, and he developed these instruments. And in many ways, I copied his design.
Okay. So just going back to the car example, we would have to have one of these in each car.
Yes, yes. Now, by the way, Nikola Tesla developed a car that ran on scalar power. He actually took out the engine, the combustion engine, and he was able to tap into star power, and he was able to maneuver, run about in this car that relied upon scalar energy, what he called radiant energy, free energy.
And can you explain a little bit how we can steer that energy when we want to speed up the car or slow down and move it in different directions?
You just regulate the instead of having an accelerator pad for gas, you have an accelerator to either amplify scalar energy or to slow it down. You still have a brake, and you would still have a steering wheel. So the only thing, instead of having a transmission, you'll have a scalar energy transmission.
So when you say amplify, you mean supply with more current?
Yes, yes, if you want to say that. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, fascinating stuff. Man, they should teach us this in school.
Why don't they? Well, you know why? This is so straightforward. You know, and if I have a working model, an instrument, then it's real. Okay, science does not lie. These instruments are engineered to obey the laws of science. So I have proven scalar science. Okay, this is not hyperbole. It's not my opinion. This is a scientific instrument. So you're right. Why aren't they teaching this? Because the powers that be do not want you to know. It's that simple.
Yeah, for sure.
It's that simple.
And you mentioned prana as well. So in the Hindu traditions, they talk about prana, which is the life force, which we can regulate via our breath. So when we control our bodies, our chakras, when we control our breath, we're essentially controlling our body. And that's when the heart and mind are connected. And perhaps that's when we access scalar energy, the prana.
Yes, exactly. We are breathing prana, which is life force energy, and we can regulate it. And yes, we are scalar energy beings. Yes.
Mm, this is absolutely, I'm blown away. I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Well, this has been super fascinating, Tom. Honestly, I have so many more questions, but I think we're going to have a chat after this, after I stop recording as well. But thank you for the takeaways. And where can people find you?
Yeah. Go to our website, scalarlight.com, S-C-A-L-A-R, scalarlight.com. Anybody in the world can submit. You're going to email us your photograph. We will work with you for free for 15 days. We'll balance your chakras. We'll eliminate, if you will, pathogens, germs, and we'll also energetically deliver digestive enzymes and nutrients, phytochemicals, antioxidants. Scalarlight.com.
Thank you very much for that, Tom. It's been a great interview.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
If you like this episode, then make sure to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review. That will help me get to people just like you. Also, make sure to visit mlmpod.info. Keep acquiring knowledge, and I'll see you in the next episode.